The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 5. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on November 9th, 2013. In Tallinn, Estonia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ucharet Atmanatmanam. Atmanatmanam, natmanam avasadayet, natmanam avasadayet. Atmaiva hyatmano bandhur, atmaiva hyatmano bandhur, atmaiva ripar atmana, atmaiva ripar atmana. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind, and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul, and his enemy as well. Purport. The word Atma denotes body, mind, and soul depending on different circumstances. In the yoga system, the mind and the conditioned soul are especially important. Since the mind is the central point of yoga practice, Atma refers here to the mind. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the mind and to draw it away from attachment to sense objects. It is stressed herein that the mind must be so trained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire of nescience. In material existence, one is subjected to the influence of the mind and the senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego, which desires to lord it over material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature, and in this way the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to sense objects. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. The word he is used for emphasizing this point. That is, one must do this. It is also said, mana eva manushanam karanam bandhamokshayo bandhaya vishaya sango muktyai nir vishayang mana. For man, mind is the cause of bondage, and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage, and mind detached from sense objects is the cause of liberation. Amrita Bindu Upanishad 2. Therefore, the mind which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness is the cause of supreme liberation. So this verse is very clear. It's giving us a choice. You can be liberated, or you can be in bondage. It's either one or the other. So it's up to each one of us to decide what we want. You want liberation, or do you want bondage? So one should know what is the meaning of those terms. At the present moment, we're in a state of bondage. We are caught up in karma chakra. We are going through birth, death, old age, and disease again and again and again. We don't remember our past lives. So some people say, well, therefore I didn't have a past life because I don't remember it. But if I ask you, do you remember what you were doing exactly 1 year ago this evening, you couldn't tell me. So that means you didn't exist a year ago? So we can't even remember 1 year ago, what to speak of one lifetime ago, or two lifetimes ago, or three lifetimes ago. In other words, the argument that I don't remember it is a very weak argument. The things which are beyond are gross sense perception. We require higher authorities. Just like the scientists tell us that the sun is 93 million miles away. And we accept that. But did you measure it? Did you take your measuring tape and measure the distance between here and the sun? No, we didn't. We took it from the authority of the scientists that the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. So this is actually the system, you see. What you can't personally measure, you hear from authorities. So we hear from authorities that we're caught up in the cycle of birth and death. And even if one does not accept that, I can see that in this lifetime I'm suffering. I don't want to get sick, but yet I'm forced to get sick. I don't want to get old, but yet I'm forced to get old. You see? I don't want to die, but I'm forced to die by the cruel laws of nature. So even in this life, it becomes very obvious that there's something wrong going on here. Not right. I have a certain nature that doesn't fit here. I'm like a fish out of the water. I want to live forever. But I'm living in a world where everyone dies today or tomorrow. So, is there another atmosphere which is actually in harmony with my nature? This is the question that intelligent people ask, you see. Is there a realm, is there a state of consciousness or a state of being I can enter where I do not die? So one may say, well, that's just artificial, you know. I mean, it's just some religious, sentiment. It's not very scientific. But I say it is scientific. And I'll show you why. Everybody here has a thirst for water. We all have a thirst for it, you see. Why do we have a thirst for it? Why do we all have a thirst for water? Why do we have a thirst for water? Because water exists. That's a fact. If there was not, I see him drinking water now. Or something, some liquid, the same point. So, the thirst for water is there because there's an actual substance, water, to satisfy it.
Вот жажда появляется сама по себе от того, что существует такая вещь, как вода.
If there was no water, there would be no thirst for water. The thirst for water indicates the existence of water. So in the same way, we all desire deathlessness. Every one of us has a thirst for immortality. That is a fact. That indicates the existence of immortality. It's a very simple thing. The thirst for a thing indicates its existence. So, the thirst for eternal existence indicates the existence of eternal existence. So there's your definition between liberation and bondage. That's the distinction. To be forced to die, that's bondage. And to achieve immortality, that is liberation. To achieve immortality is liberation. So then, how do you do it? Now that we understand that it exists, now how do we achieve it? That's the next step. This material world right now is like a desert. It's a world of death. So where do we find deathlessness? If you're in the desert, how do you get water? You have to drill way down into the earth. And you go deep enough, you will hit water sooner or later. You see. So if you want to attain immortality, you have to go deep within. You have to go beyond the superficial existence of money, power, fame, sex, etc. You have to go deep within into the very nature of your being itself. You have to ponder, who am I? Am I this body or what am I? And I'll prove to you, you're not your body. That's the first thing. You have to understand you're not your body. So how to understand this point? The body is constantly changing. At every moment, the old blood corpuscles are dying, and new and new blood corpuscles are taking their place. Every time you inhale, you're taking in new chemicals. And when you exhale, you're getting rid of chemicals. Just like the water molecules in a river, they're never the same. What today is, just like in the U.S., we have a big river called the Mississippi River. And there's two rivers that feed into it. They're also big, the Ohio River and the Missouri River. So what I'm seeing today, as I call it Mississippi water, is actually a combination of Ohio water and Missouri water. And that same water in a week will be in the Gulf of Mexico. It's the same water molecule. It's the same water molecule. One day I call it Ohio River. The next day I call it Mississippi River. And the next day I call it the Gulf of Mexico. So which is it? You see, it's none of them both. So in the same way, what you consider to be you, namely that body, which is a combination of all the molecules that make up your body. Yesterday, it was that some of those molecules were somebody else's body. I mean, think about it. Here we are in the same room. We're all inhaling and exhaling, you see. We're switching molecules with each other right now. So what I call me yesterday was you. And tomorrow it'll be some dog walking down the street. You see? It's constantly changing. The chemicals are constantly changing. But what remains the same? The conscious observer who is sitting within the body, he's the content factor. So that constant observer is the actual self. That's the same observer that was there at the time of death. The same observer at the time of birth, with the same observer at the time of death also. Even though the body is completely different, the self will be the same. So it's very simple. Even a child can understand from this simple example that I am not my body. So now this is the beginning. This is the first step in liberation. You have to understand, I am not this body. And so you're already halfway liberated already. Now you got to feel in the other half of liberation. That is, what am I? I know that I'm not the body. Now what am I? And now that knowledge you can gain by experience and by hearing from higher authorities. The technique of having that experience we have to get from higher authorities. As it is stated in the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva 5:22. Chintya kaleye bhava na tang starkena yojayat prakritya param yachad tadashin chasya lakshanam. Whatever is beyond this material nature cannot be grasped by those who are within it. Whatever is beyond this material nature cannot be understood through mundane reasoning, and therefore cannot be grasped by those who are within it. In other words, our intelligence right now is material. Our minds are material. So you can't grasp what's beyond the material nature with something which is of the material nature. Therefore, you need some powerful technique which comes from beyond the material nature, which can pull you out of the material nature. And that is called mantra. Man means the mind and tra means deliver. So a mantra is a sound vibration which comes from beyond this material nature. If you meditate on the mantra, you get connected with the nature beyond matter. It is called the transcendental nature. The more you associate with the mantra, the more you become lifted out of the material consciousness into transcendental consciousness. There are millions of mantras given in the Vedic literatures. Millions, literally millions of mantras. But of all these millions of mantras, there is one which is the most recommended. It is called the Mahamantra, or the Great Chanting for Deliverance. And this is it here on the, it's here on the board over here, the wall. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this mantra, if chanted regularly, will actually bring about a complete transformation of one's consciousness. In the beginning, we don't even realize that we're in a state of bondage. We're so conditioned by suffering, we actually think suffering is happiness. But by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, gradually you realize, wow, I didn't realize I was suffering so much, my goodness. Because the mantra actually lifts you out of this material existence into a transcendental energy or plateau of divine consciousness. A realm of pure bliss. A realm of pure knowledge. A realm of unlimited love and peace. Of beauty. Of harmony. Of sweetness. Which is beyond even the words of the most advanced poets. And you can taste it. You can experience it. And this way, by associating with the mantra, gradually you become a liberated soul. In the beginning, you're 100% in bondage. But as you begin to chant, then you become 1% liberated and 99% in bondage. And then you become 2% liberated and 98% in bondage. And then 3% liberated and 97% in bondage. In this way, you keep chanting day after day, week after week. You dedicate your life to the chanting. Gradually, it happens. I mean, I've been chanting for 40 years, and the difference is incredible, I can tell you. And it just keeps getting better. I mean, it's really exciting. What's lying ahead, you know? See, normally in material people don't look forward to old age, you know. Yeah, I gotta write. I get deaf, I get blind, I gotta sit around in a wheelchair, you know. Go to some retirement home and just, you know, it's a horrible thing, old age, you know. But for a Krishna conscious devotee, the older you get, the more ecstatic you get. The older you get, the younger you become. Actually, one songwriter, he wrote like that. He said, I was so much older then, but I'm younger than that now.
один одна личность написала, что раньше я был очень стар, но теперь я очень молод.
So with this process of Krishna consciousness, you every day you become younger and younger and younger and younger. You become wiser and younger. So there's really nothing like it in the whole world. I tell you honestly, I don't know why the whole world is not chanting Hare Krishna right now. It doesn't make any sense why everyone is not a devotee on this planet right now. It means they just haven't been educated. They're in complete ignorance. It's the only explanation I have. They must be in complete ignorance. Otherwise, every man, woman, and child would be going, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.
Is it?
They're just completely in ignorance, that's all. Therefore, I've dedicated my life to spreading this knowledge. My wife also, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. See you back here. We're traveling all over the world because we want to wake up everybody to Krishna consciousness. We can't stand to see how people are suffering all over the world. And just like there's a huge typhoon just hit the Philippines, hundreds of people were killed, you see. You may say, what does that have to do with chanting a mantra? But that has everything to do with chanting mantra. Because by chanting Hare Krishna, you free yourself from your past karma. When a typhoon comes and kills hundreds of people, that means they're suffering karmic reactions for previous sinful activities. You don't have to suffer the karma for your previous sinful activities. Because if you'll take up this chanting process, that chanting will purge you of all your previous
sins.
So we really have to spread this mantra everywhere, you know. We really have to wake up everybody. What are you doing out there sleeping? In the lap of Maya, illusion. Sir, you should be chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare. And this way we have to tell everyone, you see. Then why are you suffering unnecessarily? You can be a liberated soul, tasting unlimited bliss at every minute. You just have to get on the airplane. The Hare Krishna airplane. It will take you to the transcendental realm. But you have to get a ticket. And you have to pay for it also. You know what the price for the ticket is? 10,000 euros? No. Faith. You just have to put your faith in the mantra. And if you put your faith in this mantra and try it, it's an open-minded experiment. You go, wow. I've never experienced, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced in my whole life. This is so amazing. So in this way, we're inviting everyone to get on the airplane, fly Hare Krishna Airlines back to Golok. So I can hear, this is the airport right here. This is the Tallinn airport. That other one over there only goes within the material world, you see. But this is the better airport here. From this airport there are flights leaving at every minute. For Goloka Vrindavan. So you want to go to the ultimate destination, here's your airport right here. The Talan Hare Krishna Temple. This is your airport. So now I can ask you any questions.
Why cannot we understand spiritual subjects? Why is it made like that?
Why cannot we understand spiritual subjects? Why is it made like that? Why we cannot understand spiritual subjects?
Yes.
Because
they are beyond our... You can if you transcendentalize your mind. A mundane mind cannot grasp transcendental subject matter. But if you will spiritualize your mind, then you can understand. So how to spiritualize the mind? Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. In this way, by chanting and taking prasadam, your mind will become spiritualized and then you can understand. I mean, for example, Krishna is inconceivable to the mundane mind. A person who's in one place, in every place at the same time, is that conceivable by mundane logic? Krishna is situated in Goloka Vrindavan, having loving pastimes with his devotees. At the same time, he's everywhere and he's everything. Everything is him, and at the same time, he's separate from everything. So this is a mundane mind can't grasp this stuff. Is it? Try to grasp this with a mundane mind. He is an undifferentiated entity. I don't even know if he can translate it. He's an undifferentiated entity.
Mind or Krishna?
Huh?
Krishna.
You're talking about Krishna.
Krishna,
as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him. And he is present in his fullness. In every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Try to grasp that with a mundane mind. It'll just blow all the fuses. It's incomprehensible to a mundane mind. But if you purify your intelligence in your mind by chanting and hearing and taking prasad, then you can enter into the mysteries of understanding Krishna. Any other questions? Debbie, you want to add some points? Okay. Any other questions?
So just on this
point. Yeah.
So this is the thing that you cannot understand, but you can feel it, right?
You can experience it. How can your logic... How can you logically understand your very Atma, your very self? Something that's actually situated beyond time and space. You see, our mundane logic is completely locked into time and space. We cannot conceive of something that's beyond time and space. But our very selves, the Atma that each one of us is, that is actually situated beyond time and space. So you can't logically understand that. But by chanting and by surrendering to Krishna, you can experience it. You can actually experience that you can experience that you're an eternal transcendental being who exists completely beyond time and space. You can experience it. So therefore, chant Hare Krishna. Be who you are by chanting Hare Krishna. Know who you are and be who you are. You see, we're taught to try to be these bodies, actually. What did we hear when we were little kids from our mother and dad? Be a good little boy. Be a good little girl. How can you be what you're not? You're not the body. You can't be a good boy or a good girl because that's not you. It's just a covering. It's not you. If I said, I want you to be a good sweater, you better be a good sweater. Can you be a good sweater? Or be a good pair of glasses? Can you be a good pair of glasses? So we're told to be a good... It's the same thing. I mean, it's absurd. Be a good little boy, be a good little girl. It's absurd because it's just a covering of the self. It's not the actual self. No wonder people are so bewildered and so confused and they go crazy and they take guns and start shooting people. Become practically a daily pastime in the U.S. now. Every other day somebody goes on a shooting spree at a shopping mall or somewhere. People are going crazy. These are people who consider normal, nice people. They said, oh, he would never hurt anybody. He's the nicest person I ever met. And the next day, he's shooting people at the mall with a high-powered rifle. People are frustrated. They don't know who they are. They're completely frustrated. We have to give them this Hare Krishna of consciousness. It's the only hope for happiness in the world. This is the only hope. Without Krishna consciousness, this whole world, global civilization is doomed to gradually disintegrate into total anarchy. There will be a complete meltdown of the entire social structure. Unless they take to Krishna consciousness. So we must spread this movement. We must make everyone Krishna conscious. Because this is the only hope for the world civilization. The only hope. Any other questions? Yeah.
What is the main reasons why people they stepped on the plane of Hare Krishna very fast, they come back? And what is the reason if people they step on the platform of Hare Krishna plane? Yeah, and then after not long time, after some time they come back.
They give it up?
Yeah.
Yes. Why does somebody take to Krishna consciousness for some time and then give it up? Then there's a lot of people that do that to them. I mean, I've been around for 42 years. And I think about the people I joined with. And I'm not talking about so many people, like we were brahmacharis together. Where are they now? Why do so many people come and go from this movement? That's a good question. The answer is this. They don't follow the process according to Prabhupada's instructions. Their practice is careless. They don't carefully follow the system according to Prabhupada's books. I'll give you an example. Let's say you want to make some banana bread. Banana bread or banana cake? But you don't want to follow the cookbook. Say, well, I think it's probably some flour, you know, some bananas, some sugar. Put a little butter in, you know. Mix it up, throw it in the oven. I'm sure to get some good banana bread, yeah. But what happens when you pull it out of the oven? Didn't even rise, you know, just a bunch of goo in the bottom of the pan. What happened? What went wrong? Well, you didn't put any baking powder in it, dummy. You see? You didn't follow the cookbook. So many people come to this movement, they take up the process, but they don't carefully follow the instructions in Prabhupada's books. I took a survey this morning, how many have read all of Prabhupada's books, and no, not one person raised their hand in this whole temple. I took the same survey in Pune, India, where there's 300 brahmacharis, and only one brahmachari raised his hand. So if we don't read the books and we don't know what we're doing, it's natural so many people will leave. Instead of getting a banana bread, they're getting goo. And who wants to eat a bunch of goo? You see? If you're not actually getting Krishna consciousness, you're only getting pseudo Krishna consciousness, it's natural that they'll leave. Anybody who left did not actually get Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, they would never leave. They only got a Maya Krishna consciousness. Mayic Krishna consciousness or pseudo Krishna consciousness. They did not actually experience the true awakening of Krishna Bhakti within their hearts. So therefore, it's very important that our devotees are properly trained how to practice this system according to Prabhupada's teaching. It's very important that we have first-class training going on in all of our temples, very first-class training, so that everyone can understand what is this actual system of Krishna consciousness, so they can take to it and never leave. We'll have one more question. Anybody have a final question, a wrap-up question now for the session?
Хотел бы спросить, сейчас я вижу многих кришнамуртов, и на что, если они хотят развиваться, то есть осознание повышать, что для этого нужно для начала им делать?
I see many newcomers, and I wanted to ask what would be the best for them to now to start and to develop their Krishna consciousness. From what to start?
What's the best thing for the newcomers? I always recommend that they read the Bhagavad Gita and get an understanding of what it's all about. Bhagavad Gita as it is the basic manual of how to be Krishna conscious. So give them a lot of prasadam. Be very kind and loving to them. Be very friendly. Open your heart to them. Take them under your wing. Give them your loving friendship and help them to understand this process. Once they're in the, you can also get them going with a chanting japa. Going on a diet of only Krishna prasadam. I mean, gradually as they. You can't do everything at once. You have to judge the person according to their own level and just help them feel comfortable with it and help them go at their own pace in a way that they make steady progress. Every person is different. A doctor doesn't give everybody the same medicine. According to their specific situation, he gives specific medicine. So you have to see what is the level of the person you're cultivating. And cultivate them accordingly. The main thing is to be very compassionate, very tolerant, and very patient. This is Prabhupada is very tolerant with those hippie boys at 26 Second Avenue. We need to be very, very tolerant and help people to get on this pathway very nicely. So we'll stop here and we thank you all very, very much coming tonight. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.